I'll be reading from 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 and 9. 1 Peter chapter 5, 8 and 9. Be sober, be vigilant, because of adversity, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. To resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world.
Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Very thankful to be before you today. I'm always grateful for these opportunities that I have. Hopefully, Jeff will be back soon, because I'm sure you're tired of hearing from me. And I certainly enjoy Jeff's lessons. They are definitely a pleasure to hear. You know, one of the questions that I'm confronted with most when I try to spread the gospel to certain individuals is usually suffering comes up to some degree. Particularly people who don't want to believe in God, around the atheist, agnostic group. That's usually one of the topics that comes up, the idea of suffering. Why do good people have to suffer? Why do children have to suffer? Why is there disease and death, and why would God allow such a thing as pain and suffering, sickness, people's health failing, death, friends, family? Certainly suffering is something that we have to think about as a Christian. And I think the quick answer is really you can boil all suffering back to the devil and sin. You know, you can boil it all down to that, but what I'd like want to consider this morning is what would happen if there wasn't suffering. What would happen if there wasn't suffering? That's what I would like to look at this morning. But I think if you do look at suffering, if you want to find the root, it starts with Satan and sin. But what would happen if there was no suffering? Number one is, if there was no suffering on this plane of life, we would have no opportunity to live the Christian life. We would have no opportunity to live the Christian life if there was no suffering. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 25. In Matthew chapter 25, all throughout that chapter, God lays forth all these situations where we need to prepare, all these parables in relation to us being prepared, and he ends with a judgment scene at the end of Matthew chapter 25. We look at Matthew chapter 25, verses 37 through 40, we start to see a picture which God paints us at the judgment scene. It says, then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king will answer and say to them, surely I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of these my brethren, you did it to me. You know, that sounds like suffering. You know, when Jesus is talking on the judgment day, he's talking to those that are righteous, he talks to those that are not going to inherit the kingdom of God, he's dividing to the left hand and to the right. But when I start to look at these things, wouldn't you define them as suffering? People that are hungry. People that are thirsty. People that are strangers, people that are naked, people that are sick, those people that are in prison. And I would define that all as suffering. See, without all of those things, we, as servants of God, would never have the opportunity to serve. We would never have the opportunity to serve. If this world was perfect and no one ever suffered and there was never any sickness or hunger or death or any of these things that are listed, there would be no need for a Christian. There would be no need for a Christian to fight. There would be no need, because there would not be a need for us to serve those that are around us, to help those that are around us. If there was no suffering, there would be no opportunity to live the Christian life. And that's what God asked us to do. In Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10, it says, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially those of the household of faith. As we have opportunity, we should assist others. Well, who are we supposed to assist? Those that are suffering. Those that are going through hard times. Those that are having struggles. But none of those opportunities exist without suffering. Opportunities to support individuals. Individuals that are our family, individuals that are strangers, without suffering, there would be no opportunities to live the Christian life. In Romans chapter 5, verses 3 through 4, it says, and not only that, but we also glory in tribulation, knowing that the tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance, character, and character, hope. It says Christians should rejoice in trials. They should rejoice in suffering. Why? Because suffering offers the time to grow. Think of the times that you've grown in your life. Think of growth in general. Does growth ever happen without adversity? Does growth ever happen without hardship? Does growth ever happen without discomfort? Does growth ever happen without effort? See, without suffering, Christians don't have an opportunity to grow. Not only do they not have an opportunity to grow, but we don't have an opportunity to help. It says, and not only that, but we also glory in tribulations. Why? Because it gives us an opportunity to grow. It gives us an opportunity to serve. It gives us an opportunity to grow into that Christian life and really try to shape our life to be like Christ. And when we think of Christ and all the suffering that He went through, would we be willing to go through even half of what He did? Are we willing to suffer? Are we willing to help when other people are suffering throughout this plane of life? In James chapter 1, verses 2 through 5, it says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect, complete, lacking nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let it ask of God, who gives to all liberally, without reproach, and it will be given to him." It says, "My brethren, count all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience." Without suffering, there is no test. Without suffering, there is no trial. Without suffering, there is a tribulation. There's nothing to endure. There is no opportunity for the Christian to grow. There is no opportunity for the Christian to serve. Certainly God, when He paints out the Christian life, is not a life without bumps and bruises. It's not a life that is necessarily easy, but it's certainly the best life to live. See, God talks about the persecution that Christians will face. In Matthew chapter 5, verses 10 through 11, it says, "Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." What persecution? Persecution is suffering. And certainly suffering and persecution can come in many forms. In 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12, it says, "Yes, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution." And yet in our lives sometimes, can we ask our question, where is the suffering? Where are the trials? Where are the tribulations? Are we not living the life that we should live in the correct way? See, if you try to push yourself and you try to grow, there's going to be some adversity there. If you're going to push and try to grow, there's going to be some hardship there. If you push and you try to grow, there's going to be some discomfort there. If you push and try to grow, people are going to see it around you, and not all people are going to accept it, and you'll be persecuted. See, without suffering, there's no opportunity for the Christian to grow. Without suffering, there's no opportunity for the Christian to help. Suffering truly should bring out our best and not our worst. It brings out our best because it gives us an opportunity to help others. It gives us an opportunity to develop and grow. Suffering is going to come. The question is how are you going to handle it? Suffering's going to come in your life in some form or another. Does anyone get through this life without suffering? Without enduring some type of hardship? Does anyone get through this life unscathed? But the question is how do you handle it? Do you handle it by growing and rising up to the opportunity? By overcoming the suffering? Do you address suffering in other people's lives by offering a helping hand? See, number one, if suffering was not part of life, there would be no opportunity to live the Christian life. Number two is that suffering helps us to be reminded that we depend on God. Suffering helps to remind us that we depend on God. See, we have a bad habit, I feel like, all of us, myself included, of taking things for granted. Is that we will forget about those things that are so precious to us, that are so close to us, that for whatever reason we overlook those things that are in our lives, but once they are stripped away, that's when we're reminded. See, suffering helps us to remember that we're dependent on God. It helps us to remember that there are some things that we cannot control. Think about sickness. Think about your health. Think about death. Think about some of the friends and family that you've lost. Think of things that have happened to them. There are things in this life that are out of our control. And when we enter those situations and we suffer, what we realize is not dependent upon God. Suffering helps us appreciate those things that so many times we take for granted. In Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, it tells us to lean not on our own understanding. But that's what we try to do, is that we are Mr. and Mrs. Independent. We are Mr. and Mrs. Independent. We are fine all alone. We don't need any help. We don't need any assistance. Well, what brings us back? Times of suffering. Times of trouble. See, a lot of times people get up on a pedestal and they say, I've got no problems in my life. I've got no issues in my life. And then all of a sudden you get hit with a health problem. And you realize I'm dependent upon God. A lot of times people will slip out, they'll forget about God in their lives, and what will happen is something will happen to a loved one or someone in their family, and what if they remember through that suffering, through that hardship, that I am dependent upon God. See, a lot of times people think they're independent, but what suffering does is it kind of gives us that humble pill that we need every once in a while, to remember that we don't have all the answers and we don't have it all together, that we need God, that we are dependent upon God. The psalmist wrote in Psalm 37, verses 39 and 40, it says, but the salvation of the righteous is from the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble. And the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they trust in Him. He is their strength in the time of trouble. Who is your strength in the time of trouble? Hopefully we have friends and family that we can rely on, but do we realize many times that when we start to forget about God, that's when suffering a lot of times we find will happen. And I'm not saying that's necessarily predictable, but I'm just saying that suffering helps us to remember that we are dependent upon God. There's a basketball coach in the community in which I grew up, and he's actually a member of the church, and he fell down with a horrible, horrible illness for a period of time, and the community kind of tried to back him. But he was preached on occasion. I remember one time he was preaching, and he said, the health problems that struck me in my life brought me closer to God than anything I think possibly could. Because he realized that I am dependent upon God. I need God in my life. I don't have all the answers. When the health problems come, I rely on God. When the sickness comes, I rely on God. When death comes, I rely on God. When things happen that I can't understand and don't have all the answers, I rely on God. In Luke chapter 18 and verse 1, it says, then he spoke a parable to them and said that men always ought to pray and not lose heart. People relying on God. In fact, in James chapter 5 and verse 13, it says, if anyone among you is suffering, it asks the question in James chapter 5 verse 13, it says, if anyone among you is suffering, do what? It says, let him pray. If anyone among you is suffering, let him pray. If anyone is cheerful, let him sing praises. Humility and the realization that we can't control everything in our lives and we need God. You know, as a first-time parent, I feel like I rely on God more than I ever have in my life. When my daughter was in the hospital, it might have not been a big thing, but it was just one of those things where I realized there is nothing that I can do. There's nothing that I can do. I can do everything I can possibly, but the reality is that some things I can't control. And I have to depend on God. I have to depend on God. See, without suffering, we would not need God. Without suffering, we wouldn't need help. Without suffering, we wouldn't need assistance. We could go about our lives without problems, without issues, and we could say, I don't need God. With suffering, we are dependent upon God. In Luke chapter 22 and verse 44, it says, and being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. Then his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. Jesus even realized in some of the issues and areas of his life that he had a God that he was dependent upon, that they was making decisions that he was willing to go through with. Are we humbling ourselves before God? In 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 through 7, it says that. Basically, it says, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Do you need help and support in your life? Because the answer is, the doctors don't have all the answers. The politicians don't have all the answers. The university professors don't have all the answers. And when times come that are hard, when adverse times come, when sickness comes, when these trials and sufferings come into our lives, who do we rely upon? Or do we try to take it all on by ourselves? Suffering helps us realize that we're not all that. Suffering has a way of bringing you down to a level where you really should be at. Suffering helps us remind us that we are dependent upon God. When we start to look at suffering, we start to get this picture of, you know what, if suffering was not here, we start to lose things that we never thought we would lose. See, if suffering wasn't here, we would never have the opportunity to live the Christian life. We would never have opportunities to grow and help people. There would be no need. If there was no suffering in this life, we would not need God's help. We would not need God's assistance when we went throughout this life. Another reason that I think suffering, maybe we overlook it, is that if suffering wasn't here, is that I think that we would not long for heaven. See, if suffering just disappeared and it was gone, of course that would probably be the definition of heaven, but if suffering was disappeared, we would not long for heaven like we do. We would not want and desire heaven like we probably should. See, suffering keeps the world in perspective, and it makes the world not as attractive. See, it helps us see the world and see all the problems and the issues and the pain. And what it helps us to do is say, I don't want to stay here. I don't want to be here. I want to go home. Not a physical home, but a spiritual home in heaven. Why would I want to stay here with all the pain, the tears, and the agony? And we think about the shortness of life when it talks about it in James chapter 4, verses 13 through 15. It talks about the shortness of life. And this life is but a vapor. This world is not our home. And yet, many times, people try to make it their home. They'll try to get all of the worldly possessions. They try to focus on things of the world. They get so lost in the world and the things that are happening in the world that what they forget about is this world is not our home. And suffering has a way of reminding us of heaven. Suffering has a way of turning us back and saying, you know what, this is not all that good. It's not fun to go through persecution. It's not fun to go through suffering. It's not fun to go through health problems. It's not fun to go through any of this. And it helps us long for heaven. I think that's what the Bible is trying to teach us, is that we should long for heaven. We should long for that home. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 11 and 12, it says, Beloved, I beg you, as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles. And when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works, which they observe, glorify God in this day. Said, Beloved, I beg you, as soldiers and pilgrims. That is not a terminology of that we should be setting up camp here in terms of we're going to be here, we're going to compile everything that we can compile, get all the possessions that we possibly can, and not think about our home in heaven. But you know, when the suffering comes, we start to think, this place is not that great. This world doesn't have the things that I truly want. This world is not my home. In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 14, it says, For here we have no continuing city, but we seek the one to come. We seek the one to come. Are you seeking the one to come? Or are you getting too friendly with the world? See, God has a way of reminding us that this world is not all that good. This world is not painted in necessarily the best picture, because compared to heaven, it is nothing. A lot of times they say, almost heaven, West Virginia. I love West Virginia. I think it's beautiful, but it doesn't compare to heaven. It will never compare to heaven. It will never be able to compare to heaven. But yet people get lost. People get focused on things of life. And then God has a way of reminding that through suffering, through these things that happen to us throughout this life, we wish for something better. We want something better. And we eagerly long for something better. Suffering helps us long for heaven. Suffering helps us long for heaven. I hate watching suffering. In fact, many times I feel like I would do almost anything if I could take on the suffering of another individual. Of course, I might not feel that way once I get it, but I hate to watch suffering. I hate to watch it. One of the hardest things in my life was when my wife was going through labor and having, that was one of the hardest times in my life, because I realized I can't do anything and she is in so much pain and I can't do anything. I mean, I try to do things, but I know that they're not really helping. I mean, I can try to give every comforting word. I can try to hold her hand. I can try to do all these things. But as she goes through that suffering, it's almost something that she goes through alone, even though I'm right beside her. I hate to watch suffering. I hate to go through suffering. Why would we want to stay? God is trying to point to us. He's trying to give us every motivational factor by letting Satan do these things, by letting sin in the world, that he gives us the driving force of saying, go to heaven. Go to heaven. In Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20, it says, for our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you eagerly waiting? I'm afraid that Christians get to a point sometimes where they're not eagerly waiting anymore. If God came back today, would you be happy? If God came back today, would you be pleased? I would. Suffering would be over. We would be at home with God the Father. But what a way Satan has of trying to make this world more appealing than it really is. As life comes to a close, after people have suffered and they've went through life, it seems like Christians are ready to go. They're ready to go. A lot of times when Christians come to the end, they're asking for death. Now the world doesn't understand that, but many times when people have went through all the suffering in this world, they've come to the end of their life, their bodies are failing them, they wish for death, not in a suicidal way, but in a way that they know that death is the starting point of heaven. That death is the door which they must cross, the door that they must go through in order to get to heaven. See, Paul, I think he saw this when he came to the end of his life. Paul went through so much upon this plane of life, so much suffering, and when he came to the end of his life, I think he was basically saying, I'm ready to go. Are you ready to go? 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 8 says, for I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. And not to me only, but also to all who love his appearing. Are you ready for that day? Are you ready for the suffering to be over? See, in Revelation chapter 21 and verse 4, it kind of talks about some of those sufferings. It says, and the Lord will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. You're going to suffer in this life. But if suffering disappears, you have to understand that other things are going to disappear. What are the things that are going to disappear? Opportunities to live the Christian life. Those will disappear if suffering disappears. Also, what's going to disappear is our dependence upon God. You won't need to depend on God if there's no suffering. And number three is that suffering helps us long for heaven. Bad things are going to happen throughout this life. In Luke chapter 13, it talks about some things that happen. It says, therefore, in Luke chapter 13, therefore were present at the season some who told about the Galileans whose blood Pilate mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answered and said to them, do you suppose that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered such things? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you all likewise perish. See, bad things happen all the time, and it goes through the thing of the tower falling. It says, are these worse sinners than other people? Bad things happen in this life. Suffering happens in this life. What's the main thing? Repent or you'll perish. Repent or you'll perish. But do we forget about those things throughout life? I think a lot of times we get lost in the pools of our personal suffering. We think that for whatever reason, no one else is suffering around us. No one else is going through hardship. No one else is going through pain. No one else is going through sickness. Open your eyes. Those are your opportunities. We all go through suffering. We all go through pain. We all have things that we struggle with and things that we have to deal with throughout our lives. And that's something that we have to consider. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 and 9, which was our reading, it says, be sober, be diligent, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. It says the same sufferings that you're experiencing are the same that your brothers are experiencing. I'm not the only one with a kid. I'm worried about my daughter all the time. You know what? I know you guys worry about your kids too. And when your kids suffer, it hurts you. But we'll get lost in our own lives and think that my kid's the only kid in the world, and my kid's the only one that's suffering. Other people are suffering around us. We pretend like other people don't have the same struggles that we have. If we get lost and consumed in our own sufferings and can't open our eyes to people that are having struggles and hardships that are around us. No one is exempt from suffering. No one is exempt. And you know who probably took on more suffering than most? Jesus. He took it on, all of it. Every type of suffering you could think about, he took all of it on. And yet he's the one that didn't really deserve any of it. Of course, when we think about suffering, that's where people get lost. Is that, well, good people, they shouldn't suffer. Well, bad people shouldn't suffer. Well, it all roots back, I believe, to devil and sin. But what you need to think about, what I wanted to consider this morning, is that when we think about suffering, if suffering disappeared, what else would disappear? If suffering disappeared, we would not have opportunities to serve and grow in the Christian life. There would be no opportunities around for us to grow. There would be no opportunities for us to serve others. Also, if suffering disappeared, we would maybe realize, of course we would probably realize, if there is no suffering, you're not dependent upon God. Everything's in your control if there's no suffering. And you're not dependent on God, and you know what would happen is we would take all of that life for granted. We would take all of that life for granted. And number three is, if suffering disappeared, we wouldn't long for heaven. In fact, people that wish away suffering, basically what they're asking for is heaven on earth. You know, a place without suffering, a place without hardship, a place without adversity, a place without pain. Well, that's heaven. And there's a place that God's made for that. There's a place that God has prepared for that. But how much more will we appreciate heaven because we went throughout a life that has suffering? You know, when I think about childbirth, you know, I could just talk and discuss with my wife, but, you know, you go through all that pain, and then the baby comes out, and I could just see from looking at my wife, is that as soon as that baby came out, it was just like a sense of it was all worth it. You know, I mean, all of that pain and all of that agony and all the hours, you know, all of that process, and when the baby comes out, it's almost like it didn't happen. And believe it or not, she said she'd do it all again. Is that what people are going to say when they're in heaven? I'd do it all again. I would go through all the pain and all the suffering and all the trials and all the tribulations and all the health problems and all the friends and all the family, all the suffering. I would go through all of it again if I could just be at home with God in heaven. See, suffering is one of those things that doesn't make this world look too good. It makes it look like a place that I don't want to stay. But when we look at suffering, if it wasn't here, there'd be no opportunities to grow. There'd be no opportunities to grow. There'd be no opportunities for the Christian life. We would look around and we realize that if there was no suffering, we wouldn't be dependent upon God. And there would be no one for us to help. Not only would there be no one else to help, but we wouldn't look for God to help us. And that we would not have any desire for heaven. We wouldn't have a desire for heaven because we would actually be living on heaven on earth. I don't have all the answers when it comes to suffering. But think what would happen if there was no suffering. The dynamic that would change is really you'd be living on heaven on earth. And when we take suffering and we dial it back, I think that what we'll find is the root of the suffering comes from Satan and sin. Maybe you've suffered a lot in this life. But it doesn't mean that God hasn't given us a way out. He's given us a way out. He's given us a path to heaven, a place where there isn't any suffering. And we can be on that path. God tells us that we need to hear the words of God. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We have to believe in Jesus Christ and the death, burial, and resurrection. We have to repent and confess and be baptized. And then we can have that hope of heaven, a place without suffering. But if suffering wasn't here, certainly there's some implications of that. And hopefully you've got to think about these this morning. If you're subject to words of invitation, if you need to become a New Testament Christian, or you need to get back on that straight and narrow path, we ask you to please come as we stand and as we sing.